Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is September 1st, 2015, and we're going to talk about social media. My guest is Mary Flora, and Mary is the clinical director at Asheville Academy for Girls in the Carolinas. Well, good afternoon. I presume it's afternoon there. Good to have you here, Mary.
Thanks, Lon. Yes, it is afternoon, but good morning to you. I appreciate you having me on.
Yep, it's still morning here, but that's a three-hour time zone. Makes it complicated sometimes. Well, the title of this is Healing from Social Media Pitfalls. And so the issues of Internet addictions and problems with the Internet and too much screen time and what have you has become fiercely debated lately. In some countries, like China, I just read, has declared Internet addiction a very real psychological thing. Well, I don't think we've got to that point. So what are the problems that you're seeing that comes out of the social media that the girls are getting involved with?
Well, what's typical that we see here at Asheville Academy with our girls coming in, and we do work with girls 10 to 14, you know, are anywhere from excessive use, which can create a situation of isolation from the family. Girls that have either bullied on social media or have received bullying as they participate on social media. So both sides of that equation, along with inappropriate use, which for girls is showing up as either sending sexually explicit photos, whether they're texting it or posting, chatting with strangers and different chat opportunities on technology today. So I would say those are the big ones, and you know, just a complete preoccupation with technology and devices in general.
Do they get what you might call withdrawal if you, when they show up, if they've been involved in that, and they show up to school, all of a sudden they are having real problems backing away from use of social media?
Yes, and we can usually anticipate that from the information we're getting from families on the front end before enrollment, but also all the questions that we get from girls that are just enrolling about, you know, am I going to have my cell phone? Why can't I have my cell phone? And not understanding that, you know, part of the program is helping them, not only are the girls that come into the program, but their families as well, is kind of almost like a detox or a deprogramming from all the technology use.
Is this virtually all the girls, or all the girls have to go through this, or some aren't as tied in or lost into social media as others?
We do have exceptions. It's more rare than the norm of families and our students that have not had a lot of exposure to technology or social media, and that is, I would say, directly related to parenting, good parenting on technology before they came into the program.
Okay. Well, what are the steps you go through? Because the topic is healing from social media pitfalls. So we've talked a little bit about the pitfalls. So a first step is sort of a, like you used the term, almost like a detox. What does that consist of?
Yes.
And what are some of the reactions? Can you think of some examples of girls that had didn't take it well?
I can. I would say to answer the first part of your question, you know, it's just normal for any girl coming into our program to not have access to any kind of technology. So the cell phone stays at home with the family. It's turned off. And even during visitations, we ask initially that the child be very limited to any activity on devices, and for parents to password lock their screens and supervise any kind of call to an approved family member during a visit where the parent actually is still holding on to the phone and the phone's on speaker. It's that bad with some of the behaviors that we see where the child really has to build trust with their parents, which takes a long time, and it could be that they're really not there until later in the program, and our average day is, you know, 9 to 14 months. I did have a student that on every visit that she had with her family, and she was here for just a little over a year, and a goal on her visit was to always to try to strive to not have any technology missteps. And for that, her obsession with technology was so strong that she was always stumbling on all of her visits, whether it's picking up one of her parents' ringing phones or saying she's going to take a picture and the parent handing the phone to the child, and before they know it, she's texting all different people and erasing those text messages as soon as she can send them. So they're pretty amazing with their resourcefulness and their skills on technology. It's hard for parents to keep up.
What's the most extreme, and I'm thinking the first couple, 3 days when they show up, the detox part, what's some of the most extreme reactions that you've gotten from the girls that you can think of?
I think it's more seeing more irritability and, you know, having lost a sense of how to reciprocate in relationships, because the primary communication socially for them has been through technology. So they lose the sense of how to connect with others in a conversation or a dialogue. So it's kind of irritability, kind of feeling lost socially, being awkward, and trying to understand or do a reset of, oh, how do I connect to a person that's not on a screen?
Well, so how does it work? The thought I was having is that they really are emotionally stunted so far as their relationships, the ones you're talking about, that don't know how to relate. So you have to, it's an emotional growth type of thing that you do. You have to teach them these other things. So it's a push-pull. One is talking, and I presume this is more the pitfalls of social media and the problems. And the other is the substitution. Talk to a person face-to-face instead of through a screen, and things like that. Could you explain a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yes. So any girl that comes into our program will not be bringing in her cell phone or other technology or computers or anything like that. So it's, and they're aware of that before they come in the door. So it's good prepping the parents are doing on the front end. But when they come in, it's really helping them find another interest or really nurturing their natural gifts and talents, so that as they're saying goodbye to technology, we're extending other opportunities that they can latch on to build self-esteem. Because, you know, these days, most of our teens are measuring self-worth by how many likes or dislikes or followers they have on technology. So, you know, we try to match the student with the therapist that might have a passion for working with girls that have had an extreme attachment or obsession to technology, and really trying to help them process that. And we do call it a process addiction because it's an obsession. And working through, okay, what need were you trying, what positive need were you trying to meet through poor choices and excessive use or misuse of technology? So that's a big step for them coming first 3 months or so.
So I presume you're doing a substitution. You have horses, equine therapy, you have hiking, you have a lot of outdoor activities. These are some of the substitutions that you do to try to get interest in something in the real world?
Yes, and it's nurturing those natural gifts and talents. And performing arts is really big here. So, and we have a board-certified music therapist. So a lot of the girls are turning to resuming piano lessons or guitar or voice lessons, because these are things that they had done in the past that they quit doing because they turn to technology, because it's more of a, you know, it's an instant gratification and way of connecting that you get kind of a rush. So it's trying to help them find that same kind of excitement and enthusiasm through a gift or talent that they had that they gave up for technology. So reestablishing those interests and hobbies.
Okay, well, we've about run out of time, but we've done a pretty fair short summary of an awfully big topic. It did very well on that. But could you spend about a half a minute or a minute explaining Asheville Academy for Girls, what it is, explain it a little bit, and how people can, and then how people can get a hold of you if they want to contact you after this?
Oh, sure. So we're a residential treatment center. We are licensed by the state of North Carolina. And we are just north of Asheville, North Carolina, and we are also CARF accredited. We do accept girls typically 10 to 14, and we offer a lot of different clinical services, which is, you know, individual therapy, as well as we really focus on family work and to work through situations like what we're talking about today. And trying to reestablish those connections within the family and really supporting them in a way that helps all the family members really understand each other better and how to connect through, you know, understanding each other's emotions and being able to talk, giving them skills in order to reconnect in a way that is much healthier. So I would say, you know, one thing is really family reunification through giving the family and the girls skills so that they can better understand each other and work from there.
If somebody had a question about Asheville Academy for Girls or wanted to talk to you more about this subject, how would they get a hold of you?
They can reach me by email, which is Mary, M-A-R-Y, at AshevilleAcademy.com. And they can also call the school at 828-484-9946, and my extension is 216.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much, Mary. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking to Mary Flora, the clinical director of Asheville Academy for Girls, and we've been talking about some of the things and you do for healing from social media pitfalls. Thank you very much, Mary. You have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.